the Shiny Squirrel Podcast, episode number 10, with Ellie Cheer.
You look familiar, like I know you from somewhere.
No.
No? We've never met?
Nope.
No? You look like, I don't know, like an old relative or something that I... Oh, well, that's probably another space and time, right? Ellie, how are you today?
Horrible.
Why are you horrible?
Because I didn't comb my hair today.
You didn't comb your hair today? Well,
I went swimming and then I got home.
Well, whose fault is that?
My friends.
Speak up.
My friends.
Your friends? Who are your friends? Are these the imaginary friends?
No, we went swimming with them. This one was for the giant dummy board, and this one was for the giant water slide.
So these aren't imaginary friends or...
No, they're my real friends.
Or not your cartoon friends?
They live 30 seconds away.
Oh, I keep...
go down the road and then turn that way, they look...
I keep my cartoon friends down the road, too, so they don't follow me.
Their name is the Gerbers.
Yeah.
And go to their Halloween party every year.
Mm-hmm. So, are you ready to do some riffing?
Yes.
This is where... I'm going to explain it this time, but the next time you're going to have to explain it, okay? This is where we have a bunch of words that I've collected from a random word generator, and we are going to talk about whatever comes to mind from these words. You ready for the first word?
Yes.
Congratulations.
I knew it.
You knew I was going to pick that?
Yep.
How did you know that?
Because I was...
So we got to pick the words right here, so...
I was looking at the word word...
What?
I think congratulations was above it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and then I was looking at behalf. I was just thinking of congratulations.
Let's get back to congratulations. What do you think of when you think of congratulations?
When...
And then I'll tell you mine.
When... Sorry. Let me and Lourdes go to a beauty pageant and...
Uh-huh.
Everybody got... one prize, except for me and Lourdes, we got two.
Yes.
So then my mom said, congratulations.
Congratulations.
And my mom said, because Lourdes got runner-up.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom said that I was supposed to win.
Yes.
Because when we went back into our room, they were talking.
Mm-hmm.
And then the girl came back in, and she was redoing our scores.
Yeah.
So that her daughter could win.
So they were cheating?
Yes. And the daughter that won, she was really bad.
That's not right when people cheat like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's what I think, and I think of congratulations. You ever hear of a singer named Bob Dylan?
No, I heard of Bob the Builder.
Well, this is Bob Dylan. He sings like this. He goes, hey, my name's Bob Dylan. I would not feel so alone. But he sings a song when he was with a band called the Traveling Wilburys. He sang a song called Congratulations, and it sounded like this. Congratulations for breaking my heart. Congratulations, you tore it all apart.
Seriously.
Now, you know what? Since this is riffing, I want to hear you do a Bob Dylan voice that you just heard me do. I want you to imitate me imitating Bob Dylan. Okay? Look at the microphone and give it your best shot, okay? Come on. This is what it's all about.
Congratulations.
You broke my heart.
Congratulations. You tore it
all apart. Good! That's Ellie doing my imitation of Bob Dylan. You ready for the next word?
Yes.
The next word is screaming.
When I had to share a room with Olivia, my little sister.
Yeah.
And whenever my mom, like, we would leave our door open and leave the hall light on.
Yeah.
And whenever my mom would come to check on us, she would turn off the hall light and close our door.
Yeah.
And Olivia would sit there and she would scream and throw a tantrum for hours and hours because she does not like the dark.
Yeah.
Now I have my own room because I don't like sharing a room with crying babies.
And you're but you're not afraid of the dark, right?
No, I like the dark now.
You like the dark?
Well, I have one like night light, but it's like in a plug-in. Like the plug-in is high up on the wall.
Yeah.
It's like right next to my door, really high. So in case I need to like get up for an emergency in my room, like if there's a fire or something, I need to be able to see where I'm supposed to go.
Yeah.
Walk
well,
to my door.
It's good. You gotta have one night light to see where you're going, so you're not walking into a
like,
wall
like,
or something.
It's like the ceiling's right here,
mm-hmm.
and the wall's right here. It's like right here above like right below the ceiling, because right. I used to have a TV in the corner where it used to plug into, so I just put a nightlight up there.
Mm-hmm. Well, screaming makes me think of when I first got here in Las Vegas, I took a job working at a haunted house. And it was it's what they called the meatpacking house. And it had this one, the main room you walked into was a rectangle. And in the center, you would walk down one side, go outside, and come back in. And since I was inside the dark, I could see because my eyes were used to it. And I would stand near the door before people would come in, because they would only let two or three people come in. And I could hear them talk, and they would say either other people's names. So they might say, "Oh, Sue, I'm so scared of this." And so I would have a name of somebody coming in, okay? So I'd wait for them to come in, the door gets shut, they walk about 10 feet, and then I'd come out, and they can't see me because I'm wearing all black, okay? And so I'd say something like, so I'd already know their name, and I'm like, "Sue, I'm going to get you! I want your heart, your beating heart!" And they would just scream because they have no idea how somebody knew their name, because I'm eavesdropping, listening just beyond the curtain outdoors.
I want to do that.
It was so fun because then they would go outside and they'd come back in, and then from another, I'd run around them. I'd literally run around them without them seeing me because they just went outside, got their eyes got hit with a bright light, so they're coming back in and their eyes aren't used to it yet. And I'd be like, "Sue, I'm going to get you." And then I'd run like 5 feet away. "Sue, you don't know where I am, do you?" And they'd be like, "Ah!" I'm not going to scream, but, "Ah! How do they know my name?" And it was the most, I love doing haunted houses like that.
So is that actually one of the names that you heard?
That was one of the names I heard, yeah.
What was another name?
Betty, Cindy, something like that. I would do that maybe 10 times a night. But I had to be careful because you're doing this 3 or 4 hours, you start to lose your voice. I love doing the haunted house like that. I might go back and do it again for that purpose, but I don't know right now.
Then I can come too?
Maybe you can come too. That's a possibility. Never say never.
I have to come. I want to scare people.
It's fun.
Because I'm used to being the scary person in the movies.
You've done quite a few roles now, haven't you?
So I like scaring people. I scared myself. Watching myself go like this to the wall.
Well, you want a scary story? Okay, before I came here, I used to work at a hospital back in Corvallis, Oregon, okay?
I was born in Oregon.
I know you were. Say it louder.
I was born in Oregon.
Yeah, it's not a secret. You don't have to whisper it.
I get to go there for the first time that I remember, and in August.
In August?
And I'm going to miss the first couple days of school.
Oh, darn.
So then I don't get my iPad right away.
But here's my scary story. There's this part of the hospital where they do the dialysis and physical therapy, and I would have to go in there and work at nighttime, way after 5 o'clock, like 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, and it's all these windows and these glasses, and then there's the outside lights that are outside, and there's nobody around. And all the time, I would hear doors open and close, and I would see out of the corner of my eye, I would see a reflection or something go by in the glass. And it's not like a scary thing, more like a mystery thing. You know, I wouldn't try to let it scare me because I know if I let it overcome me, it would drive me crazy. But it was just weird because about 12 times a night, you see a reflection go by. Not a ghost or anything, like just this, like something moving in the light, like that.
Could be like little bugs moving.
I wish it was bugs, but I know the bugs weren't opening and closing doors. When there's nobody there.
Well, sometimes, like at school,
they have
like the hallways. When the bell rings, there's a lot of kids, and it kind of gets super hot because everyone's all clumped together, getting out the doors. So they make the air in the hallways like really cold.
Yeah.
So when the teachers leave the door open like a crack, and then you can hear this because like all the air is start trying to get into the room.
Yeah.
So that's probably what is happening, maybe, because it. Sometimes it will open our doors.
That does make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And that makes sense.
Yeah, probably because...
Science with Ellie.
Yeah. Probably because they leave their doors open for janitors to come in at night.
Yeah.
So probably the air is probably like pushing it open.
I hope that, but that can't explain the reflections going past the windows and things.
Maybe there were shiny objects in the room.
Maybe there were shiny squirrels.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe the objects just got hit by the light in a certain way. I don't know.
Something. I can't explain it. It was weird. But you want the next word?
Wait, so if it was not a ghost, then was it a human?
I don't think it was a human, no.
Was it a ghost?
I think it was a ghost, or a spirit, we'll say. Some
maybe
kind of spirit.
Somebody died in the hospital?
Well, it's right next to the...
graveyard?
Right. Well, not. It's next to the dialysis center. That's where the people who have to go on the machines, who have poor kidneys, and they have to go on a machine for like 8 hours. It's a very sad, miserable place. A lot of sadness there.
They die in there?
Some people might have died there, but I think there's just so much energy in the room of the sadness and the miserableness. That could be what it is that's built up in there.
Did any of the ghosts, like, scratch you or something?
Never had anything like that there, no.
Was it really cold?
It was cold in the sense that it was nighttime. And that's about it.
Because my mom went to high school, and mm-hmm. right across from her high school, there was a graveyard.
Yeah.
And she told me the story that the teachers always told them, like, after school,
yeah.
don't go to the graveyard. My mom kept telling me she went to the graveyard.
Oh.
Like, there was a graveyard right here. Parking lot and the school.
Yeah.
There's a graveyard right across there. And my mom said that they would always say, don't go to the graveyard after school. And she would go to the graveyard.
Did you ever go to the graveyard?
No, that was in Oregon and I wasn't
old enough. I got a graveyard story if you want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so.
Tell Olivia after the hospital scary story.
I'll tell this one and then we'll do another word. Or maybe we won't even tell another word. Just whatever this leads to, because it's called riffing. I was about probably your age. My two younger brothers. My brother Doug was probably about maybe 9 or 10, and my youngest brother was probably about maybe 6 or 7. And we were out in Hillsboro, Oregon, way out in farm country.
Were you born in Oregon?
Huh?
Were you born in Oregon?
Yes.
He was born in Oregon. What part?
You didn't know that? Portland.
Portland?
Mm-hmm.
I think I was born in Eugene or Portland because my mom was either. Born in one of those two.
Oregon?
No, my mom was born Long Beach? I don't know. It was in California.
California? Okay. Well, we went to this, it was like a, I think it was like a barbecue or a wedding reception or something. I didn't know. I'm 12. I don't care. But it was out in the farmland, out in Washington County. And it just got to be that point of dusk. You know, the sun is just about setting, but not quite. It's still, the sun still says, hey, you got another hour to play outside because it's summertime. And me and my two brothers, we went walking up this gravel road. And we saw this old pioneer cemetery, you know, where the gravestones say 1880, 1860. And we were thinking, hey, this is cool. Let's go look at some old gravestones because we like to look at the old years on them. And we get up there, we walk maybe a football field up this kind of sloping hill and this other gravel road that leads into it. And we notice that there's this car. It's like a station wagon that's parked off to the left. We're about maybe a quarter of a football field away. And we're walking around looking, me and my brother Doug, we're looking at the tombstones because we were kind of interested in that and all the pioneer history. And on the other this car had its back door open on the station wagon, one of these swinging open old station wagons, like a Brady Bunch grocery getter.
So they don't open up, they open to the side.
They open
the
to the side, yeah, yeah. And we could see things in there that looked like tools or shovels or something. And we could just see that there was a person that was in off to the driver's side, had the door open, and he was doing something inside. You know, I don't know what he was doing. Paperwork or...
Were you guys behind the car so he couldn't see you?
We were behind the car, a fair distance away, but close enough that we could see what it was. We could make out what it was. And what we noticed was about 4 steps away from the car, there was this blue tarp out. And on the blue tarp, there was another tarp, kind of bumpy. And sticking out from the end of the blue tarp were these 2 feet with old shoes. You could tell they were old shoes, really old shoes on, black, just old, okay? Our brother Harold kind of wandered off a little bit closer to what was going on here, okay? Me and Doug saw this before Harold was due. My youngest brother Harold saw this, okay? So this was obviously a graveyard caretaker or grave digger or something. The dead body was there. I don't know, can't explain it, not going to worry about it, but he was there, covered up, and the feet sticking out. My brother Harold's wandering closer and closer to this. I notice it first, and my brother Doug notices it, and he's like, Harold, and like, let's get out, Harold, come on, let's go, because it was just now getting to be really scary sunset, okay? We went running out of there so fast, realizing that we just saw a dead body and a guy was going to be digging a grave. We ran out of there so scared. We ran the, like, 3 football fields back to the house and the party was and told our parents. And they're like, well, maybe it's a good idea you don't go wandering off up there again.
Well, he was just working, like, the working guy who digs the bodies, but that shouldn't be that scary.
Well, it was that point of sunset and dusk, right there at that one point where it's you know, the shadows. The sun is setting, and the shadows are getting long, and it's shady trees. You know, it's that experience, but it'd be in the desert where the shadows are getting long because the sun is about to set, and it's getting eerie.
Yeah.
Kind of like that. And when you're 12 and 10 and 8 years old, it's more scary.
Yeah. You said something about, someone said something like you only have like a certain amount of sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Well, it reminded me of a book I read.
Tell us about the book you read.
It was something like A Day of Sun, where everybody lived on a planet.
Yeah.
On Mars. And there was a school there. And there were aliens, they were just people.
What's the book called?
Something like A Day of Sunlight, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Because I like anything with Mars, it's interesting.
Yeah, and they were normal people, but there was a school there.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't aliens or anything, they're just normal people with a school. And and they only get one day of sunlight out of a whole year? A whole year.
Well, so, if you had one day of sunlight out of a whole year, what would you do with it?
I don't know, but okay, so there's one kid who really wanted to see the sun.
Yeah.
And nobody else didn't want to. Like, they were just excited, but this one kid, like, really studied the sun and everything and really liked the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And was so excited. So all the mean kids, the rest of the class, took that kid and locked the kid up. And I read this in third grade. It was a book. And
it's a third grade level book then?
Yeah, but it was really an interesting book. And they locked the kid up who wanted to see the sun in this dark, like, cellar type thing. It was like a safe, but it was really big. And they put the kid in there, locked the kid in there. So the kid did not get to see the sun for an hour. I think And so all the other kids got to see the sun. And then, because then every other day it just rains.
Yeah.
It rains. And there's only one day of sun. So all the kids got to go play in the fields and stuff with the sun and the flowers and stuff. And then the kid kept screaming for help and they wouldn't let him out.
Yeah.
And then when the hour was over, they let the kid out when it was raining.
Mm-hmm.
So the kid never got to see the sun.
That almost sounds like it could be a movie plot.
Yeah, we watched a movie to it too.
Was it like animated or?
No, Mars looked just like Earth, just like a field,
mm-hmm.
and a school.
How long was the film?
Not very long, maybe like 30 minutes long.
30 minutes? It almost sounds like it's a plot you could bring to the big screen, but it would need a little bit more embellishment to it.
Yeah, I can't really remember much. And then, one more thing.
Okay,
the word
we're almost
that
to,
we had.
Mm-hmm.
When I was talking about the graveyard thing and the teacher said not to do the graveyard.
Yeah.
Well, it reminded me of when we went to my grandma's dad's house in Oregon. And we camped out in his backyard and he had orange trees everywhere in his backyard. And we were not supposed to pick the oranges.
Yes.
So I was sitting under the orange tree.
Uh-huh.
And you know Chris, my brother.
Yes.
I remember this because even Olivia remembered this. We would sit under the orange tree. Chris would come over, take an orange, open it, lay it next to us, and run away. And we got in trouble for picking them.
So he got you in trouble.
He did it to Olivia too.
Yep.
And we got in trouble because then we had to go inside because we got blamed for picking the orange.
Did you retaliate back against your brother?
I don't remember. I only remember getting in trouble for him.
Yeah.
Picking the orange.
Which wasn't your fault.
No. And then we would pick roly-polies. You know roly-polies?
No, tell me, what is a roly-poly?
It's like a little bug that rolls up into a ball.
Oh, yeah, the little potato bugs. I know what you mean. Yes.
Yeah, I call them roly-polies.
That makes sense.
Because we call them roly-polies because... because when we went there, were these little foam bowls, and they would crawl up this one big tree in their backyard.
Yeah.
So we would take them and put them in the little bowl. Our bowl was filled of them, and they're so cute. So then when we were little, we called them Roly Polies.
That is a nicer way. That's a friendly way of saying it.
Yes.
It's a user-friendly bug. Well, Ellie, we've come to the other end of riffing and podcasting. Episode number 10. Any last thoughts? They can't. You gotta talk.
10.
10.
Go to the Giant.
Go to the Jet and do what?
Giant. Diving boards and the Giant water slide.
And swim.
Yes.
Because it's hot out. It's summertime.
Yes.
And you'll be back next week for episodes number 11 and 12.
Yes.
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 And this is the end of the Shiny Squirrel Podcast. Tune in next weekend. Grandma Matata will be back again too, right?